Welcome to Star from the Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us, we have a talk guest every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 724-444-7444. Just follow the directions, and the call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web, just go to the talk's website at www.talkshow.com. And search for call ID 17702. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall @gmail.com. Also, you need to reach me via Skype. My Skype ID is FranzGames, FranzGemes. And if you want to follow me on the Twitters, my account there is Paul Franz. So to find me on Twitter, just go to twitter.com/PaulFranz. That's PaulFranz. And of course, we have a secondary account called Franz Games, where I announce this podcast, news, and different client updates. And of course, this lovely talkcast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from A to B. This week, Steve Cole finally finished transferring years of files from his old hard disk to his new computer. Yay! I'm glad he got a quote-unquote new computer. One that works. That's always new. It's always good. I also managed to... The Shapeways team, which is reaching a critical point for March 1st release, and read all the descriptions for the new ships. Steve Petrick was busy working on an SFB update, also Zinni and Gorn Master Starship books. Jean, on the other hand, was also busy, as she ever is, proofreading the Zinni and Master Starship book, taking care of customers, uploading things to Shapeways, and beating down the spam assault that is ever the problem on the BS. Well, only a few times this week, so fortunately it's not too bad. Moving forward on to just a quick reminder of some free stuff on ADB. And I just want to remind you, kind of haven't reminded you for a while, but there's a lot of free stuff on the website. Some of the popular things that are like the Federation Empire. They're play aids on counter sheet graphics. Also, they're located on starfleetgames.com/sfb/sfin/index.shtml #FNE. That's all caps and FNE. And of course, the Federation Commander game also on the website. Well, has a reference to the first missions. Because if I recall correctly, the first missions are no longer on the website. They're now located on the individual e-tailers. Like Warehouse 23. I think I got that right. Of course, the Drive-Thru RPG. And I forget, there was another one which I forget off the top of my head. And moving forward, of course, there's also on the website, there's Starfleet Battle Force new cards and play aids. They're located at, of course, starfleetgames.com/sfb/sfin/index.shtml #SFBF. And that's all in caps. So obviously, for those who know HTML, there are two different anchor points within the same page. So if you just go to that index.shtml page, you will find all that stuff. Moving forward to the SFB Online tournaments, Rat 47 tournament soon, very soon, hopefully. Clayton Kruger and Paul Graves should be playing in their finals. Actually, I just got an email from Paul Graves saying he had some... let me just double check on this because I'm pretty sure he said that was emergency. He just had surgery. It wasn't an emergency surgery on his sinuses, so he needs a few days to recover. But he did mention that he wanted to finish up the finals of Rat 47. Not quite before he played me, but I think in my mind, it's better to have him finish off the finals for Rat 47 than it is to have him play me in the Platinum Hat tournament, which is going quite well. with multiple games, many games already been played, which is always good to hear. And from the looks of it, looks like we have the round two is almost completed. I just have two more games to play, and one of those is, mine. Unfortunately, we still have game 1.10 still yet to be played, and it needs to be played so that 2.5 in round two can be played off. So, but on round three, you got plenty of games. You got at least two games set up and ready to play. So, guys, if you can play those, I know that you don't want to get too far ahead because we have the other games to get played. And I apologize for not playing Paul. You know, we haven't been in contact, you know. But anyhow, moving forward, when it comes to the one quick thing on the Starfleet Marines plugin when it comes to SFU Online. I did some work on it a couple of weeks ago. I had an announcement previously, and I fixed up some things, and hopefully I can get that working better. I grabbed my rule books out of the cellar so I can get caught. I can reread those rules just so that I can be ready to play when I have that done. And also, when it comes to the library, we have basically no progress, but we do have updates to the library that have been updated, that have been cleaned up. There were the Federation needed some things that were cleaned up, and also the Paravians. Matt resent me the Paravians that he had. He wasn't sure if he sent them or not, but I grabbed them and I posted them. I'm not sure if there was much changes or not. Hopefully it didn't break anything. But that still leaves a percentage complete as 71.2%. We need to get forward because it's almost March. And unfortunately, that means that we're running out of time for the year because I'd like to get this thing done by the end of the year. At the very least, see some progress. I'm not sure we can get it done because of Steve Cole. You know, some of those are Omegas. And we would need the background images from Steve Cole from those. And I'm not sure if he's even created them yet. So if that's the case, then not much we can do. But with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, yes, the one, the only, the Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, it's me. And we have a couple of people in the chat room. Hi, Dave. Hi, MG. So tonight is going to be one of those sessions where it's just me rambling on. It might be short, might be long, might be absolutely insane. Depends on what I talk about. I think actually I'm going to start talking about what I've been doing as of late, when it comes to SFU Online and Starfleet Warlord. Mainly it would come to SFU Online. I'm sure that if you have been listening to the news portion, actually, one thing I mentioned was the Starfleet Marines. That's, and I got the update to the plugin. I actually released that so while ago. When I sent out the update for, actually a little before that one, but definitely I had an update for the SFB portion, which so that makes it easier to use the shuttles, admin shuttles, like not the MRS shuttle, but like the gas shuttle and all those that are pretty generic between the different empires. So I made it easier in the client itself to add those. So we just have to add, okay, here's the counters. Bum, 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 bum. The counters, and it's done. The only thing that was wanted was, generic MRS shuttle. But the problem is there is no generic MRS shuttle. And I kind of pointed that out by sending out the email to the guy who was requesting this feature. And I went, what does the MRS shuttle have? And what's the special weapons? And he said, the special weapon for this is this, the special weapon for this is this. Like, that explains why I can't do a generic MRS shuttle. Because the thing is, the MRS shuttle, by definition, is specific to each of the empires. Usually it has like the phaser threes, and it has like maybe two drones, or it might have a disruptor, or it might have some fusion beams, or I think the one for the Carnivons had heel nippers. I forget which. But basically, it pretty much it has one of the weapons which is specific to that empire. So you can't have it generic. There's no such thing as generic for that. You can't say, oh, well, this one just has this. No, it's not that simple. But overall, so I got that done, which is good. Haven't got much else done on that. The one project, as I alluded to at the beginning of this year, which I haven't got as much progress as I wish I had gotten, because of I got sidetracked by other things, which actually will go into the SOB Online and all the web servers and all that kind of thing, which is I'll talk about now, which is more cloud services. The whole, as crazy this might sound for most people, but the one thing with it's always my biggest, hugest concern at the moment when it comes to the different web servers and different that I have, like playbyemail.com or sfbonline.com, or one of the more statically oriented ones like friendsgames.com. Those websites, my biggest fear is that at some point they're going to die. And it's not, well, some of that, of course, is the content, which I have to make sure I'm backing up. But one of the other things, of course, is recreating that environment. So currently, the only way to do that for the place I'm currently hosting things, which is the host is DigitalOcean, which is actually, to me, they are really getting good. One thing I'm really excited about DigitalOcean is that they seem like a low-end infrastructure web service. Basically, take AWS, but shrink it down to just the core. Not something complicated, just trim it down to the core. Get rid of things like IAM and things like that, which you might not need that much, especially if you're a single person. You can add some of those controls, but if you don't need the controls, you don't have them. You know, for me, I don't need all those layers of control. I don't need all those complicated screens. So it simplifies down to the basics. But they still have the ability to create the infrastructure, you know, recreate the VMs, recreate, you know, add those services to those VMs, attach the VMs together, either networking-wise, because you can set up private networks that connect the VMs so that they can talk in private. But those services aren't available outside of that little network. This past year, they added the ability to set up a load balancer that they run, so you didn't have to set up your own VM where it actually is running a load balancer and manage it yourself. They actually have some more services for that. They just added in the past year some storage services. You know, something like the way AWS has its. I'm not sure it works the same way, but. You can buy storage. They're called spaces. But I like that they're growing in that category. I like it that they're small and they're not complicated. And their prices are very, very, very reasonable for someone like me. Because I've got four VMs. And depending upon the size of the VM, it can cost me $5 a month up to, let me see, and I got a couple that are $5. I think one that might be, I think I got two of them that are $10 a month at the moment. So basically, I got some really low-end VMs. I have no need to create higher-cost VMs. I don't need that much power. I don't need that much memory. I don't need that much space. You know, because to run all the things I'm running doesn't take that much. Heck, that's one of the goofy things that I think about. I think about some of these web hosts where you're paying more than $5 a month. It's like, wait a minute, I could probably sell a service to people to just set it up and then, you know, on DigitalOcean, this is plain hosting. Have it so they, I'll set up the hosting. I'll set up the web server for them. And then it just costs them like $5 a month. And if they want to, I can like each month charge them, you know, a couple bucks a month. I will make sure that they get the latest updates for their version of the operating system if they want to upgrade to a more secure, you know, a later version of the operating system, which might fix some issues. No, it's going to cost you more. But, you know, that's one thing I could possibly do. I could see it easily done just because of the VMs are so freaking cheap. Heck, that's one thing I could actually do if I really want to go crazy is go with a more of a VM on the virtual host approach where I can have multiple hosts running on the same box. You know, not sure how that would work, but Lord knows I would. some people say, "Oh, use FTP." No, don't use FTP. Whatever you do, not do it. But anyhow, I would prefer just to have it's a because the VMs are we can have actually a good bit for a good cheap price. I almost want to. I look at some of this and go, you know, I really should recreate my VMs. Because I'm looking at some of the cost of my VMs are grandfathered in. So I got a really cheap VM, like 500 megabytes of RAM, like 20 gigabytes of disk space. Because I don't need that much disk space. It's a web server. It's a static web server. You know, for that, and then for that. I'm spending $5 for that. I can get for $5 a month. I can get twice the amount of memory currently. So if I recreated my VM using one of the new, you know, VMs that are available, the low end, I have a beefier box. You know, so it's crazy. But anyhow, you know, the whole idea there is it's so that the problem currently with DigitalOcean is that to create what they'll call them snapshots, I had to shut down everything to create a snapshot, which is understandable. And certain things, like for play by email, I could probably, the Starfleet Warlord site, I could probably shut down for maintenance. Tougher part is shutting down SFB Online, shutting that down for maintenance. That's a tougher one because I can do it. I just have to check the, you know, I have to plan it probably during the middle of the day Eastern time because most people aren't online during the day, during the week. So I might want to do that just so I can have a backup image of what's there. Because that's the easiest way to recreate is from a backup image. But at the same time, that's just for backup image of the current version. Now, the thing is that to create, I already did this once, this past month. I basically recreated friendsgames.com. Why? Because I screwed up. I decided, I probably should upgrade the operating system to a latest version of the operating system. Great. I didn't quite follow the steps the way I should have. So what happened? I had to just grab the websites and move them over to new servers. Yay! I didn't want to do that, but I had to do that. So I moved them to a new VM image and blew away the old one. You know, actually, that I got to check that out. I got to make sure I destroy it, because if I don't destroy it, I'm being charged for it. But, you know, so what happens if I do an oops? If I try to do an upgrade in place and I do an oops? But I probably should do, though, is I should do planned obsolescence. Recreate what I've got now. And when it comes to services, be able to just go, press a button, boom, recreate it. That's why I'm interested in web services and certain frameworks? Not frameworks. I'm not sure what they call them. But things like Packer. I think Kubernetes is kind of cool, but it's way too much for what I'm doing. But Packer, the thing is Packer creates images. That's all its whole function. I'm also interested in Vagrant, which will help you create the images, create running versions. So in theory, what I could do if I really wanted to is use Packer to create an image that I'm going to start off with. Of course, the problem is with images, I'm going to be paying for them. It's like 55 cents a gigabyte. So, you know, to have a backup image in place, you know, why do it? I can easily use Packer to create an image and then quickly use that image to create a VM. No problem. But the whole idea there is just to have so I can create the new image, create the new VM, and then port everything over. Copy it all over, shut down the old one, bring up the new one, and boom, we're good. Obviously, there are some issues with that when it comes to the client, because I do have some hard-coded IP addresses into the client as alternate ways of connecting. The default way of connecting for SMB Online is actually using the actual name, smbonline.com, to resolve to that address. And that's the best way of doing it. So that means that if I ever moved it, boom, it would just, boom, it's there. It's, you log in and boom, you're connected to the new server. Yes, great. But there's sometimes that's a problem. Don't ask me why. I think most of the issues that the SMB Online client currently has is due to antivirus, which is why I want to go. I'm working towards web-based, and that's one thing I worked on a little bit. Actually, I worked on quite a bit, which was learning TypeScript. I want to do some TypeScript stuff, and for that, actually, I want to use the TypeScript to do some initial Starfleet Warlord stuff, which is another thing I've been working on, which is try to modernize to a certain degree my services that I initially created for the aid, which is previously, okay, it was passing in the username as parameter, username and password as parameters. So instead of doing that, I wanted to switch it to be more of standards, which is using what's called basic authentication to connect to the service. Use that for sending the username and password in an HTTP request. So I did that. So now supports that. Now, I haven't tested it, but I did work on moving all of the services so they all support it. So, and also I made sure that I can actually use Ajax. Well, I need to do Ajax to have all the all those work. Now, I want to do some. The reason why I wanted to move over to TypeScript, and use that instead of JavaScript, is because of it's closer to what I'm normally used to. The whole idea of inheritance, and an actual programming language which has. The whole idea of type safety, you know, which I think is a lot, which unfortunately JavaScript does not have by default. And that's why I use things like TypeScript, Angular, and things like that. But that will definitely improve things when it comes to the product, and that's why I'm. That's why, as I said at the beginning of the year, that I want to work on getting it so that on SAP Online you actually can log in, quote unquote log in, but you can go to the web server, bring up a web page, and be able to look, watch the games. Not play them yet, but watch them. Possibly even communicate with people. So at the very least, I can use it as a way of demoing the SAP Online product without them actually having the SAP Online client. And after, if I can get that successfully, that part done, then I can possibly look into the idea of converting the SAP Online client to be actually web-based, completely web-based, which I think would be cool. It would actually, obviously, it would be a total redo. So some functionality would probably be dropped. And I think some people wouldn't care because they don't use it, which is good. As I mentioned, just because of both the Starfleet Warlord 8 and also the SAP Online Client or SFU Online Client because Starfleet Universe, because it's not just the SAP, it's also FedCom. It's going to be, after I finished implementing the Starfleet Marines, I was thinking about using Starfleet Battle Force, but that one, actually, I'm looking into the possibility of using Unity for that, but that's one of those long-term projects. Because I played around with Unity, so it actually worked out pretty well. I liked it. There's a lot of work to get that integrated and think about communication and all that kind of thing. So that's one thing that would have to be changed drastically. Oh, understood. Yeah, and many, many years ago, actually, when I talked about using Starfleet Battle Force, there was a person, believe it or not, on the podcast, in the chat room, that mentioned, I forget what game it was. There was another game, they mentioned it because it was available on Xbox 360. It was a card game. And I looked at it, and I think actually I watched one of the videos for it to see how card games are done. And I went, that's doable. I like the, because some of it is like animation. I've actually bought a couple card games, electronic, you know, ones for like Pinochle. I like playing Pinochle. I haven't played Pinochle for a while on my phone. I really should play it a little more because I really like Pinochle. But some of the animation and actually viewing it for what it can be done, because I know actually, yes, we gotta see if we can get together and find a couple other people that will share our obsession for a Pinochle, because I know, Dave, you live around here, so, and I would love to have a group of four people that we get together and like once a month or once a week, I don't care. You know, sit down and play Pinochle. I would love that, man. That'd be fantastic. But anyhow, Steve Cole really would like to have me do Starfleet Battle Force as a pay service, so they could actually get money out of it. Because that's one thing that there was a Vassal client, a Vassal plugin, which got pulled down. Why? Big, massive, copyright violation. All the images, because basically the person had scanned in the cards. Now, one thing I did do is I grabbed the plugin, saved the copy, and more importantly, I grabbed the images that were in the actual plugin, so that if I need to do a Starfleet Battle Force online, I can do it. Which actually, that's one thing I probably should do, which is look up within online, do a quick search to see if there's any toolkits, you know, any frameworks that are designed for developing card games, you know, online. Because, you know, or, you know, maybe as part of the Unity package or something like that. You know, I don't know. Actually, I'm going to do a quick search for that. Let's card games and Unity. My Google Foo sucks. So, that's one thing. I mentioned this to my wife. And I told her that she has strong Google Foo. And she says, Google Foo? Yeah. You know how to search for things on the internet, you know, using Google or any kind of search engine. You know how to do it. So you have really good Google Foo. Google Foo. That's the term that people use. It's a kind of a techie term, you know, that people use to describe a person who knows how to find things on the internet. If I told my wife, oh, can you look this up? I am willing to bet she would be able to do it. Actually, it looks like there's actually a YouTube video. I'm just going to look at this real quick I'm going to pause it immediately because I don't want it playing. But the card game Unity 5 update video to my previous Unity 4.3 playlist that people were asking for, part one. That is part one, and part two will be up next week. Okay, so, there's a whole, he's got five parts on how to do that. That would be awesome. I am going to take a look. See, it looks like you actually could create a card game using Unity. I can see that happening because of, with Unity, you can just, the cards can be assets that are added into the game itself. Actually, that's one thing I've not done for a while. I will probably do that after we get offline here, is that I might actually bring up Unity. I haven't brought up the Unity editor for a while, and I'm willing to bet you there are quite a few security holes that need to be patched. So I'll work on that. And actually, I'll take a look. See, I'm going to watch these videos this guy did. Let me look at this one. It's a 6-minute video, so I'm willing to bet that this might take me an hour to watch all these videos, and I have to look at it because I forgot how Unity works. I got it going pretty well. You know, I got the Unity engine to actually be able to take a icon of, you know, one of the counters of a ship, and I put down a board. You know, it actually was just, a graphic, a background image is what it is. It's not scalable, but it's a background image, because that's one thing I don't like about using background images. They're easy to use, but they don't scale. If you try to zoom in or zoom out, you have issues. Mainly if you try to zoom out, you're better, though you're still going to get the problem with jaggies because of it's not design, it's not vector, it's it's a bitmap, that's what it is. So it's not going to scale that well, and I'm not sure if Unity actually supports the importation of SVGs. SVG files, or what's another one? Adobe Illustrator, or Inkscape format is, and I'm not sure if there's an open source way of doing that. because of I can right now I can generate. That's easy enough to do. To the screen, and I could probably have it create a program that actually can generate an actual file that is a scalable board. That probably wouldn't be hard to do. In which case, I removed the JEGs. Of course, we still have the problem with the actual other assets. They're not scalable, like the counters. They're fixed images, and they're scaled. And I'm sure anyone who's played SFU Online client has noted, zooming in or zooming out, you'll notice that that when you zoom out, you know, the counter gets harder and harder to read. Well, that's because it's not a vector graphic. So that's one of the big issues for that. But the Unity engine actually got it so it moves around the board. I don't have it using the mouse. Have it using completely the keyboard. And the one thing, there's a couple things that I want to understand about the Unity. I had like a whole big long list of Unity questions I had. Some of those I probably should ask in the Unity IRC channel, because actually they're very helpful. But they were not. On for the Freenode IRC channel for Unity 3D, they're very, very useful. They're very, very helpful. Not useful, they're helpful. And they're nice people. I really was happy to have them as part of helping me out and getting me as far as I had gotten before anything else. So that was always good to see. Okay. Just want to make sure that I was still alive in the chat room. So, hi guys. Not tonight, but probably this weekend. Maybe I'll take a look, see at the YouTube videos on how to create a card game in Unity. Because, as I said, I've got the assets. So I could, in theory, I could create the Unity game and I can create a Unity-based game and have it so that I actually can deal the hands and so forth. The big question, of course, with card games is not playing against the computer, which I've thought about. Something I might want to look into, which is a good AI, a better AI for our robot player for Starfleet Battle Force. You know, have it so that it has some kind of intelligence. There's some things, obviously, that... Okay, I'll get into this anyway. One thing that really bothers me, because I've played Starfleet Battles. You guys have played Starfleet Battles. The one thing that always bugs me about Starfleet Battle Force, and I understand this is one of those things, the reason why Steve Cole did it this way was for balance, which is the whole idea of that you select one ship and it only can fight one ship. So you can't select, because normally in fleet battles, when it comes to Starfleet Battles, you can actually have multiple ships all firing against the same ship. And normally that's what you do. You do concentrated firepower. Now, I've not checked lately. It's been a while since I've read the rules for Starfleet Battle Force. And more importantly, it's not... This, what I'm thinking of is not a rule, but an optional rule, which is, I'm not sure if there's an optional rule out there which allows you to do that. That says, oh, I'll do this, because the way I would like an optional rule to do that for this and only this reason, you know, because obviously house rules, you can play however you want to play, because Lord knows. I sent out Pandemic to my daughter up in Mansfield. She actually got to play, and it's obvious to me that given that she and her friends played the game four times. Unfortunately, in those four times, they all died. i.e. they were unsuccessful in playing the game. Because for those of you out there, I think I mentioned pandemic before, but just in case you don't know pandemic. Pandemic is a cooperative game. My first introduction to the idea of a cooperative game was this, I forget what the game was called, but basically the whole idea is that you were firemen. You would choose to be a certain kind of fireman. You could be a regular fireman. You could be a medic. You can be different kind. You know, so you could play these different. You had these different roles. You could be a ladderman. You could be a hose guy. You know, you can be a search and rescue guy. You know, these different kind of guys through this house. And the whole idea of was to save all of the people in the house, or put out the fire. One of those two things. And you won or lost as a group. So basically, it's you, all y'all that you're playing around the game, are playing this game against the game. I love the idea because of, it's almost, if you think about it, it's like a team building exercise. The whole idea is to build it as a team. You have discussed it as a team. Now, pandemic, yes. When I was listening to Dice Tower, I think it's Dice Tower. They do reviews of board games. Which actually, I like listening to their reviews. Actually, I like the guy who does the reviews. But he did a review, and the one thing he mentioned was the whole issue that if you have an experienced player come in and try to teach some other, you know, people who don't know, you might have this, the whole problem of that guy being the leader and telling everyone what to do instead of let them either together as a group decide, okay, what should I do? You know, basically the whole idea of what should I do to help the group? There's two ways of doing that. Number one is you discuss as a group what you should do. Or two, you do it by yourself. You can say, okay, what's the best thing for the group? How can I help the situation? How can I help them win? How can I help us win? Versus, and then the guy who did the review on the pandemic, the one thing he was concerned about, you know, some people were concerned about, which is the whole idea of one person. Basically, it ends up being that person's is, they're playing that person's game is what you're playing. And you're just kind of pawns in his, and so he just, okay, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this. And instead of letting them decide, or as a group deciding and making an interactive kind of thing, it's more of, you're my pawns, and I'll play you like this. You know, which, if you're first learning, I can see that being helpful to a certain degree. But in my mind, overall, when I teach people how to play a game, I do not like to talk about tactics of the game itself. Just because of, I might give some suggestions here and there. For example, a player wants I want to blast that drone out of the sky while still far away from me. And they're playing FedCom. And then it's still like the beginning of the turn. So I go, you know, FedCom is designed so that you have an opportunity to destroy it at your best opportunity, which is when it hits you. So why don't you just let it hit you and just make sure you have enough firepower, enough phasers available to destroy it. After it hits you, so you have what's called defensive. You can use defensive fire to destroy it, so you don't have to worry about it being at range, which then you have a least chance to fire. Now, I only would mention that if there's a possibility that the player might lose because of he's doing something not smart when it comes to tactically speaking. But you know, if it's like he wants this to fire, because that's another thing is that you have the only way they're going to learn how a game works is to let them figure out, okay, this is how I fire a weapon. Because there's actually quite a few steps in firing a weapon. Number one, how much energy is that comes to FedCom? How much energy will that cost? Okay, how much energy do I have? Do I have enough energy to fire that weapon? Oh, yes, I do. Okay, fine. Next step. Before you even look at that, your first key is the weapon in arc. Check the arc of the weapon. Check to see where your target is. Okay, it is. Then you have enough power. Okay, you have enough power. Great. Now, select that weapon. Okay, what's the range? Calculate the range. Okay, now roll a dice and look. And now look at the chart to see to figure out how much damage you just did to that target. And so then you do that. And right there, that's an excellent experience for the person. Yeah, tactically, are they doing something dumb? Possibly. But the key point is not to have them win. Obviously, winning is a good thing when you're teaching somebody, because winning encourages them to play more. But if you're playing the game for them, they're not learning anything, which is always the key for me. That's why the absolute best demos are not demos where you're teaching one person. It's when you got two people who want to learn. Great. Have them face each other, and then you just tell them, okay, you do this, and you start out. You know, for the first couple turns, you're learning. They're both learning how to move, how to fire, how to launch. All these kind of things that are important on how to learn how to play the game. Now, after they kind of understand that and they get the feeling for it, then you've got to take off the training wheels, let them, you know, you're still staying by on the side of the bike, running, you know, trying to keep up, you know, as they're pedaling, so that, you know, if they do something wrong, you can catch them. But overall, you know, you let them go off on their own, because they're not going to, you know, make sure they're safe and so forth. But, you know, so you do that, and then you're there just to make sure that they understand. And if you're doing something wrong, then I say, well, that's not how that works, and correct them, so then they can, one, learn how to play the game and also have fun. Because the idea is they want to blow each other up. That's invariably, that's the idea of FedCom, that's the idea of SFB Online. In FedCom, it's to disable the weapons. It's destroy the weapons and freaking blow up the ship. Okay? So just keep that in mind, that you want to blow up your opponent. Is this a shock to anyone? No, this is not. This is about playing games. Now, as I think I mentioned before, but I never did teach my daughters the cutthroat world of gameplay. I mean cutthroat. Because anyone who's played Munchkin knows it can be cutthroat. I never taught them that aspect to the game. It was always kind of more of a race, is what we played it like it was a race. Who could get to level 10 first? But this is not a demolition derby where you can run your car into another car to slow them down. No. I then teach them about that was a valid tactic. when it comes to Munchkin, which is, okay, oh, you're getting close. Here's a monster, knocks you down a couple levels. You know? You don't... I never taught him to do that. So, I know they actually showed their friends how to play the game in that way. Somebody tells me if I would have taught them the other way, they would probably gotten some of the boys more interested. Which, at this point, I'm kind of glad. But that's me. I'm a father. I got two daughters. Big shocker. And I might not want them that interested in boys that much. Though my one daughter, she's constantly I'll let that go. This is not the forum to talk about my personal life and my daughters and how they drive me crazy. And how I wish they both were nuns. But moving forward on that. Obviously, one thing that let's move on to the next topic. Like, I actually had topics for tonight. Shocker. But anyway, yeah, the one thing that I mentioned to in the past, which is one thing I really want to do with the podcast, is I don't know what I'd like to do, because I don't trust TalkShoe. Given that what I've been experiencing in the past, I think it might have been the past 3 months. That sounds about right. Where I've had at least 3 or 4 instances where I've been unable to upload the recordings on the same night that I've finished recording. Now, it's possible that there's a bug. I think there's a bug in the system, because of the last time that I had problems. He said, "Oh, yeah, just clear the browser cache for the website, and you should be good to go." And I did, and it cleared it up. It's like, okay, that means that there was some state saved which shouldn't have been saved, or was saved and invalid, and they had no way of currently they don't actually check to see if it's valid or not. So, it concerns me, because that means they're not developing the platform. And Lord knows, the one thing that I've wanted for the biggest period of time now is, I was hoping with the transition to a new company owning TalkShoe, what I was hoping beyond all hope is just a little bit investment, $10,000 or something like that. I'm not sure how much they currently get out of the website, because I know they do have advertising which they post up. You know, it's part of the web pages. What I like to see is a Android and iOS app for listening and for chatting. So that, because currently, to my understanding, actually last time I checked, you cannot actually listen to TalkShoe on a mobile device in one of the web browsers. It will not work. That makes it kind of a no-go situation for a lot of people. So it would be nice if they could actually spend the money to develop an iOS, or at the very least, okay, if you guys don't want to spend the money on an actual app, at the very least, try to figure out how to get it so that you can stream and chat at the same time on the web page using a mobile web browser. I would love to see that. You know, you don't have to be able to, in my mind, you don't have to be able to chat, because in that case, okay, just have them call in at that point. Possibly even to the point where they, if they have multiple mobile devices, you know, have an iPad, for chatting with, and then you call up using the phone to talk on in that talk show. Do that, you know. But at the very least, you know, get that fixed, you know. But what I would love to do, but I'm not sure I can do this, which is I would love to move it to a different platform. At the, you know, what I would really like to do is move it to, I was thinking Discord. But the tough part about that is call-ins. It makes calling in more difficult. Not for people like Barry. I'm sure for Barry, that's not an issue. For Gary, probably not an issue. But for people like Steve Cole, like Steve Petrick, like Gene Sexton, those people who don't really deal with technology that much, you know, they don't deal with Skype. I'm not sure if they know how to use Skype. They do. I don't know. But I would love it to switch over to a different platform and, you know, have it so, okay, if I have to fly without a net, I'll fly without a net. You know, where, because I can still record it locally. As I said, I mentioned fly without a net, which, because I have not done this for a long time. I haven't had issues for a long time with this, which is, that is recording locally. Let's knock on the wood. You know, that's a Formica, but whatever. Or particle board, what it is. But now, I record locally. Now, currently, I also record on TalkShoe. The great thing about that is that if anything happens locally, I still have a recording on TalkShoe. So let's say, for some reason, I lost power. I could still take whatever I had for as long as I talked on TalkShoe and then go in and actually take it down. You know, do a download, add in the news portion, and then upload it again. To have it as the news portion as part of the podcast. But I would be willing to fly without a net to, you know, to have it so that I'm just recording locally, and if something happens, something happens, and it's gone. You know, and not worry about that. But as I said, the difficult part would be call-ins, how to handle call-ins. At the moment, for Discord, obviously, you can have it so people can use Discord or use a web browser to actually call in, quote unquote, call in. I'm not sure if I can get it so that Gene or Steve Cole could do that. Maybe they can. They just have to make sure they have a modern computer, i.e. they can't use one of the old computers which they are using for design, which I don't think they are. They would be doing it anyway. Obviously, for Steve Cole, Steve Cole has an iPad. I know he does, because that's how he checks after he goes home at night. And so he could actually download the Discord app and create an account and log in there and then talk. MG, but which computers are you talking about? Are you talking about the new old ones that Steve Cole just got to replace his original one? Because they bought two old Apple G4s. The G4 is, I want to say, somewhere between 10 and 15 years old. So, MG, talk to them for what they're using. You know, now, Steve Cole, I think I could get him. Yeah. I think Steve Cole could actually get him to use the iPad, you know, grab a set of earbuds and, or not even do that. If he wants to have it so that he just uses the mic and the speakers that are built into the iPad. Obviously, it wouldn't be nearly as good quality. But he could do that. And he could use Discord and we'd be fine. People like Steve Petrick, I'm not so sure. about him. Because that's the great thing about talk show is that people just dial in, boom, and they're good. And in theory, I could try to use like Skype and Discord at the same time and then use my computer as a router, basically, route between the two. That's one thing I would like to try. I need to experiment to see if this actually is possible. Because if I can do that, then I could probably drop TalkShoe. When it comes to I would not drop the chat room. Obviously, that's one thing I could probably use Discord for. The one thing that I would want to look into for Discord is the ability to control the people who log in into, quote unquote, my server. And that is, I want to have the ability to mute people if I want to kick them out. Things like that. I need that kind of control to be able. I need to be able to do that kind of thing. I need that kind of control so that things don't go out of hand, where I basically have to cancel. I have to kill the whole Discord thing for that night because someone's being a jerk, because I don't want that to happen. I want people to have fun. I want the ability to go, dude, you're talking about something totally unrelated. Thank you for calling. Goodbye. And then in the podcast recording later, remove it. You know, I would love to be able to do that. You know, I'm not, and I have to investigate Discord some more. I'm sure it's possible the people in the chat room know more about Discord than I do. One thing I do know is that Discord has excellent quality when it comes to recording. Better than Skype. Which would be quite cool to see. And if somebody goes, oh, yeah, Discord's a great replacement for Skype. Well, it's a great replacement to Skype when, my dear friends, you don't have to call in via POTS, you know, a plain old telephone system. You know, that's what POTS stands for. And does not stand for point of turn. Shocker, you know? I mean, something other than an SMB term. So, that, you know, that's one thing I would love to do. You know, if I need to, I'd be happy to have people log in via IRC. That'd be fine with me. Because I think, yeah, in fact, I know that's what I'm currently, MacGeekGab does. They have a stream. And that's another thing I could possibly do. Obviously, is also have an output to a stream. Obviously, if I'm able to use Discord, though, there's my stream, and people can use their little mobile devices to log in using Discord, and I could put a generic invitation out so people can join the server. You know, so that'd be interesting to see. You know, maybe one of these times. I mean, look in Discord, and what I'll do is I might have a special Discord session. If I get it up and running and have it and looks like and everything good to go, I will warn you ahead of time that I'll be doing this. But if everything goes according to plan when it comes to Discord, you know, it has all the features I need. Other than, you know, dial in and that I can let go at the moment. In that case, then what I might do is see if you guys on chat room, because I'm Dave, I'm pretty sure you can. I'm MG, I'm willing to bet you can. Possibly Russ, you know, see if we can either have people, you know, use the website, because you can actually listen and actually even talk via the website. Or the actual client itself. Which is a good thing. So we'll have to wait and see how that all turns out in the end. So I think with that, I will wrap up for this evening. We had a nice little talk about SAP Online, you know, servers, and how I plan on keeping things running even if disaster does strike. And of course, some of the plans for moving forward in the technology and having so that we have space to grow in the future. Because Lord knows, this was the plan from Steve Jobs, and maybe he just was ahead of himself. Which is the whole idea of the iPhone was that, okay, you didn't need actual apps, web apps. You did everything in the web. Which is an idea that's maybe a little bit ahead of its time. But these days, come on, we're moving more and more to every single thing we do is on the web. There's only certain things that currently we still have to do locally. Editing sound, editing video. Stuff that you need local programs, that specialized programs to do. Maybe one of these days we'll even get past that one. And then, of course, talk about this podcast and hopefully moving maybe off of TalkShoe and moving to a different platform. Possibly even switching over to Discord where we can do all kinds of do the broadcast through there and have so that everyone can join in. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.